Acts of the Apostles, chapter 25, Paul's defense before Festus. Acts 25, verses 1 to 27, Paul before Festus and Agrippa. After 2 years, in AD 59, Porcius Festus replaced Felix, who was heavily fined and banished because of his cruel and inept handling of violence that broke out between the Jews and Syrian inhabitants in Caesarea, concerning whose city it was. Felix had sent his soldiers into the marketplace and killed a large number of Jews whose property was then plundered. This is mentioned by Josephus in his Jewish Wars. Paul was safely a prisoner in Caesarea during this terrible time. Following the disturbances, some Jewish leaders of Caesarea went to Rome to accuse Felix before Nero. It was only the appeal of Felix's brother Pallas, a favourite with Nero, which saved Felix from a worse fate. Felix realised that if Paul was released into the hands of the Sanhedrin, it would result in the death of a Roman citizen with further complications. Under the circumstances, it is understandable that Felix left Paul bound in an attempt to appease the Jews. We wonder if Paul thought of Joseph during his 2-year captivity. Joseph had asked Pharaoh's butler to mention him to Pharaoh so that he might be released. The butler forgot. It was another 2 years before Pharaoh dreamed a dream and Joseph was delivered, we find in Genesis 40 and 41. Even so, without trace of resentment against God, it was during this unjust imprisonment that Paul wrote, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labour of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister," in Hebrews 6, verse 10. He knew he was not forgotten, but that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, as he writes in Romans 8, verse 28. Acts 25, verses 1 to 12, Paul before Felix. It was but 3 days after Festus came into the province that he ascended up to Jerusalem. There the high priest and the chief of the Jews informed him against Paul. What sort of man was Festus, who started his new duties so diligently, and before whom Paul would have to answer this time? He was appointed by Nero in AD 59 and continued in office until his early death in AD 62. We know nothing of his background, but Josephus commends him as an honourable and capable leader who tried hard but faced a series of insurmountable crises. The Sicarii increased in number and cruelty, murdering many and robbing and destroying whole villages. Law and order broke down despite Festus's attempts to deal with it by destroying a great many of the Sicarii. Albinus succeeded Festus as procurator in AD 62. He was totally corrupt, and the slide into the Jewish revolt began. In AD 64, Albinus was replaced by Gessius Florius, who was worse. He was so full of deceit and wickedness that the incoming tide of war could not be turned. 4 years after the death of Festus, the Jewish war began, so Josephus tells us. Festus was informed about Paul by the high priest Ishmael ben Phiabi, together with former high priests and the chief men of the Jews. That this should occur immediately upon Festus taking office shows the importance that the priests placed upon winning a conviction against Paul and removing Roman protection for the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to which a great company of the priests had defected, we're told in Acts 6 verse 7. Presuming upon Festus's natural desire for their goodwill after the bungles Felix had made, and while as yet he was unacquainted with their guile, their strategy was to ask Festus to convey Paul to Jerusalem to be tried. The journey would be an opportunity for them to have Paul murdered on the risky part of the journey through the Judean hills. But Festus was no fool. He saw through the murderous scheming of the priests and commanded Paul to be kept out of harm's way at Caesarea. Festus would return there in a few days. Let Paul's accusers return with him and accuse this man, if there be any wickedness in him. It seems that the high priests had already overplayed their hand. Festus was not sympathetic to their cause. After about 10 days, Festus returned to Caesarea and heard Paul's case the very next day. Certainly Festus was a man of energy and determination. On this occasion the priest did not employ an advocate, but accused the prisoner themselves with many and grievous complaints, which they could not prove. But then hatred finds its own reason. Reproached for the name of Christ. Paul answered for himself, neither against the Lord of the Jews, neither against the temple, nor yet against Caesar, have I offended anything at all. His answer shows that the basic charge was one of sedition, a serious charge under Roman law that would incur the death penalty. Tertullus had similarly charged that Paul was a troublemaker in chapter 24, verse 15. Paul's answer is a wonderful example of how a brother or sister in Christ should conduct themselves at all times. We read in the 1st of Peter chapter 4, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth on you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Like his Lord, Paul increased in wisdom and stature, and increased in favour with God and man. He should have been set free, but in the providence of God his continuing captivity probably saved him from being murdered. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world, we read in Acts 15 verse 18. So Festus, willing to do the Jews a pleasure, asked Paul whether or not he was willing to go up to Jerusalem to be tried there. Being Roman, Paul had the right to insist on a Roman trial. Knowing that a trial in Jerusalem would be a certain death sentence, Paul not only refused to go, but, ever with his eye on preaching before kings and especially in Rome, appealed to Caesar. No doubt Paul had expected the charges against him to be dropped, which they should have been. After 2 years, the case was going nowhere. In fact, it was getting more dangerous with the suggestion that the trials should be heard in Jerusalem. With the activities of the Sicarii and the previous plot to kill him on the road, he knew that it would be most unlikely he would ever reach the city. It was every Roman citizen's right to appeal to Caesar, and at this juncture it was the most logical thing to do. He knew he would never get a fair trial in Jerusalem, or indeed anywhere in Judea. In Rome he would have the opportunity to present the gospel before the emperor. We find this in chapter 23, verse 11. Nero had been emperor for 5 years, and, still under the influence of Seneca, his tutor, remained stable. It would be another 5 years after the fire of Rome before Nero would begin to commit ghastly atrocities against the brethren of Christ. Paul admits he is prepared to die if he is an offender. He was definitely not a coward. But we are not permitted to throw away our lives. We have been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6:29. Festus conferred with his Roman advisers, and then decided Paul's appeal to Caesar must stand. Acts 25:13-27. Paul before Agrippa. Marcus Julius Agrippa, that is Herod Agrippa II, was the only son of Agrippa I, who died in AD 44, smitten of worms, and we read of that in Acts 12:23. His son was then 17 years old and in Rome. The Emperor Claudius favoured the younger Agrippa and gradually advanced him. He became king of Palestine, but not of the Jews, although he was given the important right to appoint the high priests in Jerusalem. Agrippa preferred the title king, and was even referred to as the Great King. He remained loyal to Rome throughout the Jewish War, and afterwards the Emperor Vespasian confirmed his rulership of his kingdom. It seems he never married or had children. After certain days, Agrippa II came with his sister Bernice to greet Festus and pay his respects to the new governor. Bernice, the sister of Drusilla, was so intensely jealous of her sister's beauty that they hated each other. Bernice was older than Drusilla, and now about 31 years of age. She had been married twice, but because of rumours of an incestuous relationship with her brother, eventually married for the third time. This was to King Polemon of Cilicia in AD 64. The marriage did not last, and she returned to her brother. She later fell in love with and became the mistress of Titus, the conqueror of Jerusalem. At the outbreak of the Jewish War, she risked her life by interceding with Gessius Florius on behalf of the Jews. Festus took the opportunity to ask for Agrippa's advice concerning Paul's appeal to Rome. This was an informal inquiry to find out more about Jewish affairs from an expert. After all, he must send Paul with a charge made against him. But Festus didn't have one. Paul was innocent. Just how Luke knew what was said, we don't know, though it is possible that there was a brother employed at court that acted as Luke's informant. Festus explains that Roman law did not allow a man to be put to death before he had opportunity to answer his charges before witnesses. But there were none. Appian states, "The law requires, members of the council, that a man who is on trial should hear the accusation and speak in his own defence before judgment is passed upon him." God's law, through Moses, made similar provisions. In the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. If you see Deuteronomy 17:6 and 19:15. These were very enlightened provisions in law for their time. British law did not allow the accused to have a defence counsel, give evidence on oath, or cross-examine witnesses until sometime after the Civil War in the 17th century. This from Geoffrey Robertson in his book The Tyrannicide Brief, page 151. In giving Agrippa the background to Paul's case, Festus mentions that the Jews had certain questions of their own superstition, and of one Jesus which was dead, but Paul affirmed to be alive. This word, superstition, deisidaimonia, also in chapter 17, verse 21, is not the usual Greek word for religion. It can mean great fear or dread of a god or of demons. Festus's comment, therefore, mocked Paul's belief in the Lord's resurrection. Agrippa was a lax Jew who understood the law and beliefs of the Jews, which Festus did not. Festus, in telling Agrippa that he had asked Paul if he would go to Jerusalem to be judged there, like Lysias before him, put himself in a more favourable light by bending the facts. He omitted to mention that he should have let the prisoner go, there being no case against him, nor did he say that he continued to imprison an innocent Roman because he was willing to do the Jews a pleasure. Agrippa responded, "I also would hear the man myself." Perhaps, like Herod, he had heard of the prisoner and had wanted to see him for some time, possibly hoping to see some miracle performed by him. That's from Luke 23, verse 8. So the next day, with the great pomp that befits a king, Agrippa, Bernice, the chief captains, and the principal men of the city gathered in the place of hearing, and Paul was led in before the august company. Agrippa, clothed in royal purple and wearing his crown, sat. Paul in chains stood. Chapter 26, verse 29. According to Josephus, five chief captains, Chiliarchos, commanders of cohorts like Lysias in Jerusalem, were stationed at Caesarea. Paul must have appeared a pathetic figure after 2 years in prison in Caesarea, where Herod, the father of Agrippa and Bernice, had been smitten of worms because he gave not God the glory. Chapter 12, verse 21 to 23. But once again, though brought without warning or preparation, Paul was not overawed. Had not his Lord said, "He shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles," Matthew 10, verse 18. Was it not his specific calling to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, in Acts 9, verse 15? Festus began the proceedings by announcing to Agrippa and the court that this was the man against whom the Sanhedrin and the chief priests had dealt, the word means petitioned or made intercession, as in Romans 8, verse 27, had dealt with me on behalf of the nation, saying that he ought not to live any longer. And although Festus had found nothing worthy of death in the prisoner, Paul had appealed to Caesar, and to Caesar therefore he must go. But with what offence should he be charged? A charge must be sent with the prisoner, but Festus was unable to give one that formed an offence under Roman law. "I have no certain thing to write unto my lord," the Greek word lord, kurios, a title also used in Egyptian papyri of Augustus, Claudius, and Nero. One ancient writer declared, "After an appeal has been made, records must be provided by the one with whom the appeal has been filed to the person who will adjudicate the appeal." Could King Agrippa help? Thank you.